What's up, wrestling fans? It is Monday, July 28th, and we just finished watching tonight's edition of Raw, and after a number of technical difficulties, which seem to be becoming a regular thing here on Blog Talk Radio, we are finally live on Mega Powers Radio for our Raw post-show. Apologies for the folks that got a little frustrated waiting there. I don't think anyone complained, but gonna apologize. Anyway, we appreciate your patience, but we're here now. Let me introduce who's with us tonight. Gonna be the host of the show tonight. My name's Mike Payton. With me is Steven Huego of Addicted to Anime.
Yo, yo, yo.
Drew White of the Drew Crew.
Yo, yo, yo.
Representing the nation of Wales, Mr. Sean Walker.
Fuck the Drew Crew and fuck Burger King.
And the president of SmarkOutMoment.com, Tony Mango.
I prefer Wendy's, but if the Burger King's giving it out, maybe I'll take them up on the offer.
We're going to spend all night talking about fast food. I have a bad feeling about this.
I did have Taco Bell earlier.
I got to say, guys, we had an amazing edition of Monday Night Raw last week. Lots of fun, lots of exciting things to talk about. At the end of this show, I'm not feeling as optimistic. I'm feeling a lot more down. I'm not going to say it was a total shit fest. The first, 2 hours were. But for the most part, man, what a step back. And, you know, it'd be hard to keep the same excitement as you had last week, but I did not expect that much of a drop. But let me go around, ask you guys what the main thing you took away from tonight was and see what your perspectives are. Tony, why don't you start us off?
I missed basically the first 2 hours, and according to what you had just said, it seems like I didn't miss much. And the hour that I did see and that I actually paid full on attention to, if I would have missed that, it would have been okay too.
Wago, what about you?
I was an hour late, so I had to fast forward for a lot of commercials to catch up with you guys. I wish I was 2 hours late.
Drew.
I was here the whole time, but I fell asleep after the first segment, unfortunately, actually, thankfully. Well, I took away that apparently to get John Cena riled up, you need to just throw Brock Lesnar at him. So there you go. That's a thing.
No, you gotta insult his kicks.
Oh, yeah, insult his kicks. No, you have to call him a billboard. That's what gets him out of the ring and ready to fight.
Well, you said he couldn't wrestle. That's what pissed him off.
Oh, I took it as a billboard thing. I thought that was the funniest thing I've heard all night.
Mr. Sean Walker, what's the number one thing you took away from tonight? And don't just say Burger King.
Well, my client, R-Truth, conquered the streak.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Most prestigious streak in wrestling history ended tonight in one of the most bullshit fashions. A lot to talk about on this, guys. We want to hear what all of you out there got to say, though. This is the most interactive post-Raw experience available, after all. Already got the chat room open and running. We got John Bo. I think he's someone new. Welcome to the chat room, dude. Thanks for joining us. Ferris419, Creepers Under Radars, 5x Combo, keeping things busy in there. And, of course, we'll have the phone lines opening up at 11:30. If you want to get yourself in line, the number to dial is area code 760-512-7247. Or if you're feeling brave, feel free to hit that Skype icon at the top if you don't want to use your cellular phone minutes or landline or whatever the heck it is that you prefer to use for your phone calls. So, guys, I really don't even know what the biggest thing that I want to go into. Why don't we just talk about Bo? Because that's what I'm heard about. Bo Dallas making it all the way to 17 and Bo, but unfortunately tonight gets put into a match with R-Truth, who I'm pretty sure this is the first singles match he's had on Raw in months. He was in that battle royal that we had at Battleground, but besides that, I can't remember the last time we saw R-Truth in action. And he comes out, he gives his typical speech beforehand, he tells R-Truth that he can gain a victory if he Bo leaves. Well, perhaps he Bo-tivated R-Truth a little too much, because during this match, Bo Dallas is celebrating, R-Truth sneaks up and gets the sneak roll-up victory, ending the streak. Now, my biggest qualm with this, we've talked before about how if you keep a wrestler too dependent on being in an undefeated streak, it can end up hurting them so much more in the long term. So I'm really not that hurt that Bo Dallas' streak had to end, but they had this gimmick with it. So if you are going to do the streak and have a gimmick with it, then it's fine to continue at least for a little while. But even so, if you had to end it, why R-Truth?
Oh, I know why.
How at all is R-Truth the guy to go in to do this kind of thing? Why, Drew?
Because he's black, and they're building up a black faction because we love black people. That's why. Woo! Yeah! Black people.
Wow. Time count. Okay. 3 minutes in.
Wega, why don't you take over on that? What are your opinions about this Bo Dallas situation?
Well, when you guys told me before watching that Bo Dallas lost via roll-up against R-Truth, I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, are you kidding me? Then when I actually saw it, I didn't feel too bad because Bo Dallas snapped and presented a mean streak, which was apparently not there before. And I think he comes off a lot more legitimate now. I liked it. I wish it wasn't against R-Truth and it was against a higher caliber opponent. But there's an upside to this, so I'm okay with it.
Well, let me pass this question on to Tony. Bo Dallas did show a new mean streak tonight, as Wago had pointed out. How do you think they should approach this mean streak with him? Should it be something where he keeps being the motivational Bo Dallas most of the time just until you get him to cross over that point? Or should this be a complete character shift for Bo Dallas? Tony?
I think that what they did tonight actually was the best course of action. He can act like, you know, you got me there, buddy. You got me. Well, fuck you. That kind of a thing. because the Bo Dallas character is too good for him to just start being a total dick or a total heel or anything like that. They need to keep him being motivational and everything. I loved the Butterfingers thing that they did before. I like how they did this. So I'd like to see him maybe every once in a while flip out and get a little bit too angry and bitch and complain. And then kind of like do that whole like goose fraba and just go like, ah, man, I believe I can beat him again. Like that kind of a thing. And I think they did the right course of action here.
Gives him layers, which I think is a cool thing to have. So if that is what we get out of this, at least we can find that positive in it. Sean, did you like what they did tonight with Bo Dallas, or do you think this was a travesty?
I thought this is the best way forward for Bo, because he's going to join up with his brother in the Wyatt family.
What? You really think that's what they're going to do? I don't think he can grow a beard.
I think the chat's right. Drunk Sean has made his way to this episode.
No. Not Drunk Sean. Pain medication Sean. This is the Kurt Angle Sean.
Oh, no. I think maybe you found Adam Rose's lollipop or something.
I licked the bunny.
Oh, goodness gracious. First chickens and now bunnies. Let's move it along here. Let's actually head to the beginning of the show. We had John Cena greet us at the beginning doing his usual Cena shtick. He gets interrupted by Paul Heyman, the crowd super behind everything that Heyman had to say. He talked about how Brock Lesnar wasn't just going to beat John Cena. He was going to victimize John Cena. Cena starts rallying some ECW chant, starts taking shots not just at Brock, but at Paul Heyman as well, which prompts Cesaro, of all people, to come out. As soon as I heard that siren, I was like, what? Can they like not make up their mind between these guys? Cesaro comes out, gives him a hug, and he explicitly states that him and Heyman have parted ways, but he's not going to let John Cena insult his friend like that. So Cesaro goes down to defend Paul Heyman's honor in a one-on-one match with John Cena to start the show. And I got to say, phenomenal match. Great outing by both guys. John Cena taking the insult that Cesaro threw his way that he couldn't wrestle and just completely upstarting him, or completely erasing that thought from people's minds after seeing that match that he just put on there. And Cesaro constantly impresses with the clinics he's able to go out there. And let's not forget that match he had with Daniel Bryan during that two out of three, or no, the handicap, or was it a gauntlet match? One of those things. And Cesaro, I think, was on point tonight as well with his speech. He took a lot of shots at Cena that were hilarious, called him a big muscled up billboard that couldn't wrestle. And he even took a shot at his shoes saying, "Where'd you get your shoes? Kmart?" Cesaro was fantastic here. Heyman was fantastic here. And I can go ahead and give credit where credit's due. John Cena was fantastic here. Let's get your guys' thoughts on that one, though. Tony, what'd you think about everyone's performance in this opening segment?
I missed the entire thing. I had it on mute at the time, so I didn't hear anything that Cesaro had said, but I was confused when I was watching it mute because I knew that last week or the week before, whatever it was, Cesaro said he was no longer a Paul Heyman guy, and there he was walking out, shaking hands with him again. I was thinking, you know what, if they're just going to go back on that because they didn't think ahead, then that sucks. So it's good to see that they had some kind of an inclination of, we don't want to do that, but we need to give something for Cesaro to do and something for Cena to do. I don't know if I necessarily would have done that.
what would you have done with this night then? Because Brock Lesnar wasn't there, had to do something to keep that storyline going. Cena wasn't even there last week, and I think the schedule actually has him not at Raw next week. So how else would you have approached this situation we have tonight?
You know, I don't know. I mean, it would kind of depend on what their plans are for certain different people. Maybe did another match with Kane. It seems like they didn't put a ton of effort into this episode, so why not just kind of take the whole day off? Just do another Kane match.
Sean, what'd you think about our opening segments?
Hello. Opening segment, same old John Cena promo. Passion, passion, yay, more passion. Fill him up with any more passion, he'll be jizzing passion. You know what I'm saying? And the whole Cena can't wrestle stick. We get it. I like it. But it's the same insults day in, day out, day in, day out. Think of something new. The match, though, the match was pretty damn good. Probably the only good match on the fucking card.
Yeah, you know, I got to look through it again to double check that, but I think you might be right. That's kind of sad. 3 hours, you only get one good match. Like, only one even decent match. I'm pretty sure the rest of these matches I'm looking through it were just pretty plain awful.
You mean,
I'm actually, play Cena Jericho and Rollins.
The airplane spin. Not the airplane spin. Fucking the swing.
The Cesaro swing. Yeah, it was great to see the return of the Cesaro swing. I haven't seen that in a number of months. And I remember just reading a lot of people on the wrestling forums talking about how the brass had come down on Cesaro not to use the swing because they were worried it was going to get him over. And then the next night he's using it on Raw. That's hilarious.
I think that was like, hey, you can be over tonight. Oh, thanks.
You should convert it to the airplane spin. There we go. That way then.
Yeah, do an airplane spin and then just put it into a torture rack. That would be cool.
Yeah.
Oh, man, who was using the torture rack recently? Oh, that was Big Zeke, wasn't it? What's he doing now?
He's in that company that doesn't have a TV show.
Oh, yeah. Big news coming this week with Spike TV canceling their deal with TNA. We're going to talk a lot about that on Smack Talk this week, so pay attention to smarkoutmoment.com for that. You'll probably hear a number of jokes get popped tonight, but we're going to try to stick to Raw and not get too much into the TNA jokes, but they'll be coming. Don't worry, they'll be coming. Drew, what'd you think about our opening two segments tonight?
Like I said, I ended up falling asleep halfway through the match, and I don't know if it was just me being tired or if I just couldn't stay awake or something. I don't know. But the first segment just bored the piss out of me. I don't know why. Cena just, oh my God, I couldn't do it tonight. I couldn't do it. And Paul Heyman, I don't know what you guys are talking about. I just couldn't get into what they were saying. I think the lack of music, it felt like it was too quiet in that arena at some point tonight. I don't know why. It was bugging me. Cesaro came out, made his jokes. I chuckled. And then I fell asleep until like 9:20. And then, yeah, then I woke up. That was fun.
The lack of music? Do you want them to have like music during their promos, like 2009 Kane?
Maybe it's because like you know, Paul Heyman, he doesn't come out to anything. I don't know why. I just it felt like there wasn't something there. I heard John Cena's music, but you know, that shtick, and then I hear nothing of Paul Heyman. I don't know what.
How's that go?
Stay awake.
How's John Cena's music go?
Bottom.
Okay.
You know, if Drew does it, it's gonna have pyro.
Yeah, Cena should have pyro.
Why not?
I guess he doesn't really.
What do you mean they gave it to?
At this point, anybody should have pyro. I don't think anybody has pyro at this point.
Well, yeah, Bad News Barrett's out. Brock Lesnar has pyro.
If they're in the mood, they'll be like, "Kofi, you've got pyro this week. Oh, we got pyro this week. Nah."
They should just give all the angry anti-Cena fans a bunch of fireworks so they could shoot them off and try to hit Cena, and that could be the pyro.
Oh man, such a good idea.
Yes, let's give a bunch of dumbass fans pyrotechnics and see how that goes.
That way, if they ever have another situation like WrestleMania with Undertaker's pyro, they can just blame it on the fans.
Didn't that happen to Jeff Hardy once where he got bombarded with pyro?
Yes.
Yeah, but that was meant to happen.
It was meant to be.
What do you mean it was meant to happen?
Yeah, that was part of their story.
Well, someone heard Jeff in the back saying that he wanted to spark up and they took it the wrong way.
That's funny because he does drugs.
Wago, wrap us up on this Cena Cesaro deal we had tonight.
Okay, it was an excellent match between the two. My problem is with this build between Brock Lesnar and John Cena, and it comes from the fact that they're not saying it's the first time they're having an encounter, but they're trying to make it sound like Extreme Rules never happened. John Cena, have you never been victimized? Well, actually, you got quite victimized at Extreme Rules before you hitting one random move out of nowhere, so I don't like that. I think they should totally acknowledge Extreme Rules, because Brock Lesnar kicked seven shades of shit out of him, and it was awesome. It was just the ending was fucked up. So I say you use that to your advantage and build up that, and build that one lucky move isn't going to save you this time.
Like Brock Lesnar has that move scouted, and you're not going to get him in that same mistake.
Exactly. Then you've got Lesnar, a story.
Lesnar destroyed him in that match. I believe it was in like the first 10 seconds, Lesnar had Cena busted wide open and bleeding all over the place.
And the thing is, he didn't even use a weapon to accomplish most of the shit that he did. John Cena had to beat him by dropping him on some steel steps. He's not going to have that luxury this time. You've got plenty to build off of this. Oh, and so as far as Cesaro's little promo, I've seen people high on him, but he seemed to be stumbling on his lines. I don't think he had very good delivery tonight. So I was a big fan of the match, but as far as the opening talking segment goes, I was not the biggest fan.
I'll pull a couple comments out of here in the chat room. John Bowe saying he really enjoyed the Cesaro superplex. That was fantastic display of strength. Both of them were going back and forth with some strength displays, as they should. You know, they're both strong men. And he also corrected me. Y2J currently has promo. So there you go.
Chris Pyro. Jericho.
Promo.
Boom, 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 boom. We had our first of a number of Divas segments where we had Paige coming out saying that regardless of her losing her temper the previous week, she still thinks of AJ as her best friend in the whole wild, wide world. This prompts AJ to come out, and they have a little bit of a back and forth where eventually Paige calls AJ crazy, sort of indirectly. I forget what it was. She was like, oh, you'd have to be crazy to think of something like that. And recalling back to about a year ago when whenever someone said the word crazy around AJ, she flipped her shit. And once again, AJ flipped her shit, attacked Paige, threw her around the outside of the ring into the side guardrail. Didn't get to beat her down quite as much as Paige did on AJ. Paige got away, but fantastic. Makes me more excited for their match at SummerSlam. We have clearly defined roles for both of these girls, which is fantastic. I think Paige was the most confident of any time she's been on a mic on the main roster. And I think it's because now that she's a heel, that's the role she's really more meant to be. So I'm looking forward to what they got to have. I think that they're going to vastly outperform how they had at Battleground. And yeah, I can't wait. And I'm going to be rooting for Paige in that one. Just throwing that one out there. But Sean, I know you're a big fan of these ladies. What do you got to say about it?
I kind of daydreamed about Summer Rae, AJ, and Paige all in bed together. So yeah, that happened. That was a good daydream.
Drew, what did you think about these ladies?
Crazy AJ's hot. But seriously, I liked it. It makes me kind of look forward to their match at SummerSlam, but kind of like with everything else on the show, it just, I don't know, some things just didn't work, and this, I don't know, didn't really work. So I don't know. Let's see what happens next week. No, Sean, I'm not you. I don't cut myself. So I don't know what's going to happen. Let's see what happens.
Wago, what'd you think about our ladies' performances tonight?
I didn't check it out because the Divas are piss breaks.
You know, they're never going to get any respect if we keep saying things like that.
Tough shit.
Tony, I actually will start this question directed towards you, and Brian the Brain brought this up. The crowd keeps chanting CM Punk whenever AJ is out there. Is that disrespectful, and can they stop this at any point, or is AJ just going to be doomed to follow this until CM Punk comes back, which is not looking like it's going to be any time in the foreseeable future?
Well, this is a weird situation because CM Punk's contract just expired, 10 days ago? And the fans have been wanting him to come back, and they've been holding on to this little bit of hope, and Wago's been doing the same, that he will end up popping back up again. And I'm sure that in some ways a lot of those fans are still going to think that 5 months from now or a year from now, whatever the case may be, because that happens with everybody. people were like, well, when's Batista going to come back? Because he's got to come back at some time. He's not going to be a fucking movie star. Of course, Guardians of the Galaxy looks like it's going to make a shit ton of money. But everybody wanted The Rock to come back to host WrestleMania. Everybody wanted Hulk Hogan to come back to rejoin the family. Everybody wanted Sting to join the family in the first place. I mean, everybody wants everybody back. And even earlier today when the news broke about TNA, Billy Kidman had to send a tweet out that said, like, can you fucking wait until the ink is dry before you start telling us who we should bring from TNA? Like, you know, that's the fans, they're passionate about it, so they're going to want everybody to come back. And you might not be the biggest fan of the guy, but you probably do want Punk back more than him not being back. And they're going to keep doing that until their spirits break to the point where they can't take it anymore. And it sucks for AJ because she deserves better than that, because they're not trying to piggyback off of it. She's not doing Punk's moves. She's not wearing his t-shirts or anything like that. And she deserves the crowd to pay attention to AJ. Now, I don't know if they can get around it by sort of acknowledging it and then casting it aside, kind of like that mentality where if you ignore something, then people know that it's, if people are think that you're ignoring it because it bugs you, they do it more. But when you kind of just go, yeah, you know what? Not going to happen. Fuck you guys. Get over it. And then they go, ah, okay, well, that's it. It's not going to work. Maybe that'll work. Maybe she can start wearing that I Dig Crazy Chicks shirt again, but that might draw more CM Punk, things like that. I don't know how they're going to get around it. It sucks for AJ, but she's talented enough to get around it. They'll figure out a way.
Well, and you mentioned her not doing, like, you mentioned her not playing off it. Why doesn't she play off it? Don't you think that'll benefit her? Use the go to sleep, use the Anaconda device. I think it'd be awesome.
It might, but it might also make a lot of the people go, she's just trying to do that because she sucks. Or, like, when you see certain people that they do gimmicks that they're like their fathers had, like when DiBiase was starting to do that, and a lot of people were like, oh, he's only doing this because Ted DiBiase Sr. was better at it and he can't do shit on his own. So they might think she's just trying to ride the CM Punk wave, just like she's riding something else.
I don't think she'd get hurt by that. I think she's established enough.
It's worth a shot to try, because what's going to happen in the negative if it doesn't work? They still chant CM Punk, you know?
Well, I have one flaw with that. She cannot use the go to sleep because they kind of have another star that's going to be debuting soon.
That's true.
That uses the go to sleep. So if they want to save that move, they should probably keep it aside until he's ready to use it. And for that matter, that guy is probably going to have a lot of problems with those CM Punk chants if he's going to have that attachment to it.
Yeah. AJ's good enough, though, that she can figure out a way to get around it. And I'm not saying that they should do the Crazy Chicks thing again. I don't even know that they should have brought that up here. And it, kind of an inside joke, I'm not in the mood to say I Dig Crazy Chicks at the moment, but I do really like AJ. I really think that she's fantastic. I think that she's not only super fucking cute still, the same as she was before, but there's a reason why she's in the finals of this tournament that we've got going on, and there's a reason why she's the Divas champion.
Brian the Brain making another comment that the crowds have gotten too smarky. Wega, would you agree with that? And since we've seen so many more people, and you hear people talk about internet wrestling fans, well, who is internet wrestling fans? What wrestling fan doesn't have an internet connection and probably doesn't at least frequent one Facebook group or chat with their friends on Facebook about it, or Twitter, or whatever it may be? They follow certain wrestlers on Twitter. All these documentaries that break the fourth wall are available, not just available from anybody, but WWE breaks the fourth wall all the damn time now. So is everyone in essence a smark now? And has that caused people to make stupid things like this when they're saying the CM Punk chants and whatever else they're always putting out there?
I say the internet wrestling community is a dated term and it needs to go away. But I wouldn't say smark's an outdated term. There are still a line between those two fan groups. You're going to get the ones that have an internet connection, but they're only going to like the Facebook WWE page, who take it for what it is, like entertainment. And then you're going to get the people that go on SEScoops.com, that go on JippleZone and look at all and look at all the hot news stories and learn about these wrestlers' backstory lives and make their own opinions based off that. I think there's two types of fans out there. I think it's just time that we get rid of the internet wrestling community terminology, because it's non-existent at this point. We are just wrestling fans. And as far as the fans getting too smarky, I think that's just the evolution of the product, and the product has to adapt to work with that. I don't think you can ever say it's the fans' fault, because at the end of the day, the fans are what are making it so the wrestlers can compete, that they have a job. So you have to cater towards them.
Very well said. With that, I'm going a couple minutes late, but we're going to start opening up the phone lines. If you want to get yourself in line to chat live here on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio, the number to dial in is area code 760-512-7247, or press the Skype button at the top of the page. And once again, a shout out to the people in the chat room. We got Five Times Combo, Brian the Brain, Creepers Under Radars, Ferris 419, John Bo, and our very own Mysticata, Drew White, and Stephen Huego, and even Tony Mango representing the panel inside the chat room. Well, it says you're there. So I see a few guests there. If you want to chat with our people in there, please register so you can chat with all these fine people in the chat room, along with listening to us here on Mega Powers Radio. With that, let's take on our first caller from the 412, Mr. JD from Pittsburgh. What's shaking, JD?
Mike, guys, how's it going tonight?
Oh, we're all feeling good as usual. If you've heard, we've been a little bit down in this episode of Raw. Big difference from last week, but what did you think about it?
Well, I had a friend, actually, who lives in Houston, and I'm sure he probably thought it was the same thing. However, it depends on where he was sitting with his girlfriend, because he and I got to meet each other at WrestleMania, and he was a good friend of mine. So I had his girlfriend on tickets, I'm sure, to the show tonight. They went to see the show at the Toyota Center. Yeah, I mean, it really wasn't that great of a show tonight. I mean, it was a subpar show or below-average show at best. I mean, I agree with you guys at the outset. You guys were talking about it earlier at the beginning with the Cena-Cesaro match. I mean, it's a fantastic beginning. And then after that, it was just like 2.5 hours of comedy shit, you know? I mean, you had the whole freaking Bo Dallas or Truth thing. I mean, you have this new Nation of Domination with Kofi, Big E, and freaking Xavier Woods, and there's talk that they might bring Mark Henry in. I don't know why they're thinking about going back to 1997 with that whole gimmick. Then you have the stupid commie bastard Rusev and his little whore Lana again running their yapper, if you will, with Swagger and Coulter. And I like when Coulter kept telling him, "We the people," after everything, and just the Russian bear stood there like a freaking oaf. I should call him Boris and Natasha now. Then you have the whole Jericho Seth Rollins thing, and then you talk about a guy. I mean, I thought originally we're gonna have Reigns and Kane. I imagine they're setting that up maybe for main event, unless they're gonna go with it now, possibly with Orton and Reigns. But I don't know if you guys heard or not. There has been talk about Orton getting some big time heat. However, apparently from this past week on Reigns, did you guys hear anything about that at all?
I did see that report, and I was talking about it in our Facebook group, and my response to it was, if these people didn't expect a match that was 10 minutes of headlocks, why would you put them in there with Randy Orton? Because that's what he's infamous for.
Yeah, you're not going to get that Road Warrior pop if you do that.
No. But, I mean, then you have the stupid Fandango thing with Diego. You have the stupid, like I said, the whole Damien Sandow, Adam Rose match. That was just lame. 12 seconds. That was stupidity.
Waste of time.
Yep. And again, another waste of time in the Divas Affair. Cameron and Alicia taking on Natty and Naomi. That goes about 3 minutes long. I mean, Jericho and Rollins, if it wasn't for stupid Bray Wyatt and his minions interfering, however, mind you, I mean, that could have been a pretty good match. All right, went 13 minutes long. And then, of course, you have the end with Stephanie and, of course, Triple H, of course, needless to say, coming out and running their yappers, if you will. And, of course, Bree getting up in Stephanie's face and setting up the match for SummerSlam. So, I mean, all in all, it was an okay Raw, but I don't think it was a great Raw, like I said. However, I think next week is going to be interesting to see what happens, because there is talk how Cena may not be there and Brock Lesnar will be there. And that leads me to wonder this. I mean, yeah, I know Brock's going to win the belt at SummerSlam and that hour, but how come he gets to do, I mean, I'm not just saying this to be mean or anything like that, but he gets it in his contract. He's sort of like, he gets to do whatever he wants, whenever the hell he wants, because he's that way. But why is it like that, however? I mean, I think it's bullshit, if you ask me. I mean, why don't you just stay full-time instead of being this in-and-out guy like you're doing all the time? Because if you want to headline WrestleMania next year, you're going to have to be that type of person. What do you guys think about that?
I'm torn on that. Brock Lesnar's personality is just not one who lends well to being out on the road and being around people all the time. He's very introverted. He likes living in his cave in Minnesota. So I understand why that's the deal he wants. And in some ways, I think he deserves a deal similar to that. I think it's fine for him to pop in once in a while. You can get a big rating whenever he is on Raw if you advertise it. You can make the pay-per-views that he does fight on look that much more special. So I'm okay with it that sense. Giving him the title, though, I agree with you. If you're going to put that belt on yourself, you need to dedicate a heavier schedule to it. Even when The Rock was there, he had that belt. He was on Raw almost every single week. I think he missed like 1 or 2 weeks, but he upped his time that he was in that ring while he had that belt around him. So whatever Brock Lesnar's plan is, I agree with you. I hope that he's willing to give a little bit more time.
Yeah, and I think that's what they're going to have to tell him to do if he's going to win the belt SummerSlam, which I think he's going to win. Real quick, low point, high point of the night before I cut you guys loose for the night. High point of the night, definitely the Cesaro-Cena affair. Great opener. I mean, both of those guys went – they could have gone another 3 to 4 or 5 minutes. I mean, they just had the crowd eating out of their hand, literally. And like I said, it was a great opener. However, like I said, you give them about 14 minutes. You could have given them at least an hour – like, you could have given them 20. I mean, they just really popped it. And the thing is, the movie – the only thing that's holding Cesaro back, and there was an article about it today in my local paper here, and Justin LaBar usually writes some good articles every week, however, you've seen his stuff on WrestleZone, but if not, he does write some articles twice a week in my hometown newspaper about different wrestlers, and this week he talked about Cesaro. I think right now, the only thing that continues to haunt Cesaro, and it's holding back Cesaro, is having a guy like Paul Heyman. I think it's time to ditch Paul Heyman once and for all. I don't know why they did that at the beginning tonight. I'm hoping that after SummerSlam, they start to really realize that Cesaro is the future, just like Roman Reigns, however, and he doesn't need a manager. I've said that for weeks on end. He does not need a manager. If he wants to become a big name, that's the way I see it. Now, the low point of the night, however, I would have to say I don't want to say the R-Truth Bo Dallas thing. I want to say the Adam Rose Sandow match. I mean, you talk about a guy who just continues to get wasted. I don't know why they keep having these matches with each other. I mean, Adam Rose is not getting over the fans. The fans are getting bored by it. I'm getting bored by it. And as far as Sandow goes, I mean, look what they've turned him into. I mean, if they want to talk about a new jobber tag team, why don't they just put him up with freaking Van Dam and call himself the Job Squad, for God's sake? Because these guys are just losing matches left and right. I mean, it's just a shame what they've become, if you ask me.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. There's way too many people that are just jokes right now, and they shouldn't be, because this is a period where they need to be building stars. And with a guy like Adam Rose, you're not going to build a star out of him sending him out there to wrestle astronauts. People already are not taking him seriously, and putting him in situations like that are not going to help him.
No. I mean, I've seen a little bit of his footage on NXT, however, and he was half-decent in NXT as the Leo Kruger guy. Why don't they just go back to doing that with him? Unfortunately, they put him in the Austin Powers, freaking get him to the Greek mode when they brought him up, and they thought they were going to get over with the whole bunny thing. I mean, for once, however, I mean, every week I agree with JBL. It's just enough is enough with this guy, you know? I mean, seriously. And speaking of JBL, I mean, I understand he's a heel announcer and all that, but quit sucking off on Triple H. You're kissing his ass, JBL. We're tired of hearing your shit every week by sucking up to the authority. Well, it's just become their new little bitch as well while you're at it. Seriously. So.
Yeah, JBL is... I have to point out something very odd I noticed about him when the table had gotten broken after Randy Orton RKO'd Roman Reigns through it. You could see JBL's shoes, and he had these, like, bright tan cowboy boots on. I'm like, are you kidding me, JBL? You're really gonna be like that much of a stereotype being in Texas as a Texan wearing your cowboy boots?
Yeah,
I bet he like has a firearm on him too.
Well, we'll see what happens. Obviously, they're going to be in Corpus Christi tomorrow night, and then they got Laredo and Austin next week. So if you got a Texas three-step this week, if you will, with three more shows, however, coming up this week and next week for television. But like I said, however, so far they got two matches. I mean, they already got three matches actually listed for SummerSlam. I imagine we'll have two or three more listed in the next few weeks. I imagine we're going to have AJ and Paige all but a done deal at this point, probably this week or next week. I don't know what they would do as far as tag affair goes. I mean, I'm surprised they're going with two diva affairs at SummerSlam. I mean, they don't need to have freaking Nikki, basically, or Brie, should I say, versus Stephanie. I mean, I just cringe at that one. I do agree with you about AJ and Paige, so I think that could be the show-stealing match of the entire card, I feel. I mean, they didn't have Ambrose on tonight, I imagine. They gave him the night off. I was really surprised about that, but I do think they're going to pick that back up. At least I hope they try to pick that back up this week on SmackDown, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Did you give us your low point? I don't know if we got that one.
Yeah. That was the Rose. Yeah, it was the Rose.
The Adam Rose thing. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, yep. Goodness gracious. Yep. All right, JD. Another fantastic call.
Talk to you guys next Monday.
Definitely, man. Have a good night. Appreciate JD calling in. Anyone else calling in, too. We got another caller we're going to bring on in just a moment. But once again, I want to give everyone the number out there. It's 760-512-7247. Or you can hit the Skype icon at the top of the page. And, of course, the chat room scrolling nicely, as always. Thank you all for joining us. We appreciate having you here with us on Mega Powers Radio for our Raw post show. Let's bring on our next caller. This is an odd-looking number. I want to say you're from the 395 area code, but I think you might just be calling in from Skype. I think it's John Bo. So let's bring in here. John Bo, is that you?
If you're talking to me, yes.
All right, John Bo, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
I'm very good, and it's John Bruce, and I'm from the Smack Talk side of things, if you guys recognize it from that, maybe.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, Tony would definitely recognize you, and I always see you as well commenting on the Smark Out Moment videos. Tony, you want to say hi?
Yeah, definitely, man. One of the few people that has actually been a part of the Sign Me Up initiative. So awesome, John. Love
yeah, you got
all
me again in 2 weeks.
Oh, you're going to do it again? Awesome, dude.
Yeah. John, where are you calling us from?
Australia.
Australia? Awesome, man. I have family out in New Zealand, so I'm familiar with that area. I know it's two completely different worlds. I don't want to insinuate that Australia and New Zealand are anything alike, but, you know, cool part of the world.
Oh, we're cool.
Except when it comes to soccer, I know you are rugby. You guys can get each other's throats. But what do you think about the show tonight?
I found it okay. I did enjoy the end. I enjoyed Stephanie's crocodile tears. It made me laugh when she turned on Bray.
Stephanie is once again showing that it's going to be in good hands when things fully go into her. Because, well, I shouldn't have said it like that.
Five times combo. I think the employment clock for Great Khali is a good idea.
Oh, yes, a replacement for the JTG clock, the Great Khali clock. Let's get someone working on that one.
Yeah, but then someone actually has to bubble looking at a picture of the Great Khali, and I don't think anyone wants to do that.
John, what stuck out to you tonight? Were there some things that you actually did enjoy, or was this? Are you kind of like us, where we're just kind of blah about this Raw?
I felt a bit riled up by the Cena promo at the start, and the match was quite good, but I did feel like Paul Heyman used the word victimized a little bit too much.
Yeah, it sounded kind of like one of those anti-rape rallies. Started feeling kind of dirty.
Yeah. I agree with you guys that it seemed like a very low effort sort of show.
Mm-hmm. Did it make you any more excited for SummerSlam? Because that's what they're supposed to be doing right now. They're supposed to be ramping up to what's supposed to be the biggest show of the summer for them. Did they do that for you?
I'm not feeling the AJ and Paige match, but I'm really, really keen on the Jack Swagger and Rusev match, surprisingly.
I can't believe you, of all people, as an Australian, you're getting behind the real American push of Jack Swagger. Who would have thought?
I heard the rumors that it was coming before they actually started it, and I developed that keenness, and Tony and everyone was talking about it on Smack Talk as well, and it just started building up in my mind how good it could be. And then then they pulled the trigger, and it really, yeah, I just got really pumped when his music hit the first time.
You know, WWE is getting very international lately. They just signed Kenta from Japan, and just today they signed Prince Devitt from Ireland. I don't know what kind of scene that you have as far as independent circuits over there in Australia. Is there anyone there that you could perhaps recommend as someone that we should be taking a look at as a big Australian star that could eventually make their transition? Because at this point, I can't think of any Australians ever to really cross over into the big time American scene. Maybe the Bushwhackers are New Zealand, I think, actually. So, you got any inside scoops on that?
Not really, no. They're, our wrestling fans aren't really that big. I mean, we don't get a lot of, it doesn't get a lot of coverage.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. A lot of, like, 99% of our coverage is Australian rules football, which in my mind's crap. But, there's not a lot of coverage, and wrestling's really not that, grown here. As it is in the USA and everywhere, like Japan.
Now, you said you're going to be going to see them again soon. That means WWE's coming out to Australia?
Yeah, August 7th.
Oh, fantastic.
For us. August 6th for you.
Now, I know when they often go into other markets like England and especially China and Japan, they always... people flock to the WWE because it's something different coming to town. You only get to see them so many times. The shows that you've been to for WWE, is the crowd usually as wild as we see in those shows? They're just so happy to have WWE in their town that they're expressing it heavily?
Well, 2 years ago we had a packed house, but it was a very dead crowd. And last year it was a packed house and the crowd was absolutely killer. And this year we got a pretty strong card. I'm happy we don't have John Cena, to be honest. And our main event's going to be Roman Reigns and Kane in a street fight with Ric Flair as the guest referee.
Ooh.
So that's going to be pretty cool. I'm really looking forward to seeing Chris Jericho because I never thought I'd actually get a chance to watch him in action.
Creepers on the Radars in the chat room wants me to ask you if you would go to a TNA show.
Oh, yeah, I see his comment. Definitely not. If I could, I'd hop on Smack Talk with you guys and just take a big dump on TNA. So
we were postulating before that whenever the final show on Spike is, we should do the long-awaited Impact post show and just spend like an hour just completely shitting on it at the end of the road.
Yeah, 90% of the show would just be us doing the TNA noise.
Oh no. Can you imagine?
John Bruce, let me ask you first, is there anything else in your mind before we ask you for your high point, low point?
I was going to ask, do you guys reckon they'll put a stipulation on either the Rusev Swagger or the AJ Page matches?
Oh, that's a good question, actually. For Rusev and Swagger, I could see them definitely putting a stipulation on that. I think Tony had brought up the idea of them doing a flag match, which I think would be very apropos. I could also enjoy a tables match, which I think would be really neat. As far as AJ Lee and Paige, I think the best match that you could possibly do for them, and I don't know if I would do it at SummerSlam, but I would love to see a two of them in a submission match, just because they both have awesome submission finishers that actually look painful and look cool. To know that could be coming at any point in that matchup, trying to get that victory would be awesome. But let me pass it around to the best of the panel, because I think that's a really good question. Tony, what do you think about stipulations on those matches?
Not a big fan of the idea of a tables match, as much as that's been going around. Flag match they got to go with. It looks like they're going to be doing that. And I like that idea of the submission match, too. I didn't think about that. I was kind of just assuming they'd have another basic standard match or whatever. But I can't think of anything better than that, really. Maybe they could have a three-way match and I can be involved. Maybe there could be some kind of a different gimmick that they haven't really done with the Divas in a while, like a steel cage match or something, but they're not seemingly building up to that. So overall, I'd probably have to go with flag and submission if they're going to do that. That's a good idea.
Sean, would you want to see a stipulation on those matches?
Yes. Flag and fall for Rusev and Swagger. And for AJ and Paige, bra and panties.
Oh, I like where you're going with that. Drew, what about you, man?
Sure. A flag match. When was the last? They had a flag match recently, didn't they? With, like, Dario or something like that?
Did Big E and Rusev have a flag match? Or is that just they just had flags?
They just waved them really hard.
I was trying to think when the last time they had a flag match was. I remember every time I see Dario in the ring, he has, like, the flags on the two poles, so I always assume it's a flag match, but it never is. Sure, why not? Flag matches. That's cool. Go flag matches.
Flag matches are matches.
There, it's a match with flags. You can't hate on that.
Wago, wrap us up. What do you think about stipulations for these matches?
The flag match makes too much sense not to do, so just watch. They'll randomly make it some type of street fight with a random name. But I'm hoping they go with flag match. And as far as the Divas match go, I do like the submission idea, but I think it's too early now. I say do a normal match for that. And I think you can get about 5 or 6 matches out of Paige and AJ and pretty much have them for the next 6 months wrestling each other. So leave it for now. Put it on the table at a later date.
I agree. Put the meat on the table. You know, with all that you're talking about how they'll probably screw up with Rusev and Swagger, how it makes so much sense for a flag match. You know what they've been liking a lot lately? Is stretcher matches. So why don't we just make it a stretcher match, yeah?
Fuck's sake.
John Bruce. The last thing we always like to ask people here is your high point and low point for Raw. So what was your favorite part of Raw tonight and your least favorite part of Raw?
Oh, if I can think of one. The high point I enjoyed was probably the Cesaro Cena match, for sure. That one I can still actually think about and remember it. Because, like I said, I love the Cesaro Superplex. But for the low point, I think... the Divas match, the tag team match at the end, I just got so bored, ended up like shooting through that with the fast forward. I paused it, walked off, came back and fast forwarded it. Because I'm just not feeling... Like, Natalya, Naomi, and Cameron and everyone's just... There's nothing there, and it just felt like a really pointless match just to fill time.
All right, John Bruce. Excellent call, man. Thank you for calling in. Feel free to call again anytime. I'm sure this is very an odd time for you out there. Actually, it might be... It's the middle of the day, isn't it?
Yeah, middle of the day, I got lucky.
Well, always welcome here, and of course, we'll always see you on Smack Talk, man.
Awesome.
Have a good night, or good day, I guess I should say. Take care, John. All right. Two fantastic callers in a row. And again, anyone out there listening, if you want to get your voice heard here on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio, dial in area code 760-512-7247. Chat room is always open as well. Still a couple guests in there. Get yourself registered and join our cool fans like Five Times Combo, Brian the Brain, Creepers on the Radar, Ferris419, John Bo, who just got off the call with us, and of course our very own Steven Huego, Drew, and Tony is in there as well. Creepers on the Radar actually just said something ridiculous. Patriot, meaning Jack Swagger, goes heel and defects and joins Rusev and then starts donning a purely red mask. Yep.
Dude, just get the Patriot.
Just get the Patriot.
I have to commend you on something, by the way. When you just said good day, you didn't say good day.
It was actually tempting. After I said it, I was like, oh, I should have said it like all like that. No, you know, John Bruce came in after JD, and he's like, that wasn't a call. This is a call.
I just imagine you doing the Triple H thing now going, right.
and I like how one of the first things John Bruce mentions is Stephanie's crocodile tears. I'm sorry, but we're not making fun of you, John Bruce. We like the call.
He put a message in the chat saying he was so nervous, now he'll never call back again.
John, that just means that you've been hanging around my stupid-ass puns long enough that they're subconsciously happening.
Yeah. All right, guys. We had a tag team matchup, six-man tag, with Rybacksel joining The Miz to go against The Usos and Dolph Ziggler. Pretty much the main focus of this was, once again, Miz doing everything he can to protect his moneymaker, eventually resulting in a distraction, letting Dolph Ziggler hit the zigzag on Ryback to get the pin. Pretty pointless match, and probably not much to say about it, so I'm just going to ask one group roundup. Is there anything you guys have you want to add to that?
It was stupid for, what's-his-face, Mango to get rid of Ziggler. That's all I got.
I thought it was a solid outing, and I'm glad they're making Dolph Ziggler look strong. He needs some momentum behind him, win or lose against The Miz.
Fuck Burger King.
Yep.
Tony, any thoughts? You've eaten Burger King as you said that.
I actually kind of liked the match. It wasn't, super, super special. It's not something I'm going to remember or write down in my notes for the best match of the year or anything like that, but it was all right. And I like The Miz as a heel. I'm not a big fan of him losing his matches, but that's what happens with some of the heels. So cool to see Ziggler is getting a little bit of a rub out of this, but he is not going to end up winning that championship. And that'll make me both happy and sad. And fuck Rybacksel.
And you forgot about the Nation of Domination.
That's true.
Oh, that's right. The new not nation, because we don't know what they're officially called yet. First, they showed a scene of them in the back watching on the TV, and at some point they walked out and just stood by the ringside, and Big E stroked his chin, and they did nothing. So, that happened. Five Times Combo in the chat room saying that he thinks Dolph Ziggler should start using the super kick more, and I absolutely agree. I think that would be a fantastic finish for him. It's snappy. I never cared much for the zigzag. The sleeper hold I actually kind of dug when he was using that, but that can't be your full-time finisher. That's just got to be something in your arsenal, and he hasn't used that in a long time.
I think it's good for him to pull out just as a, hey, I've still got this now and again, and it's good for him to use against big guys, because I think he started using that when he had to, like, wrestle the big, the Great Khali or something.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But I think, never mind.
Yeah, there's nothing more to say about this. Well, we're not going to have much to say about this either. Damian Sandow comes out dressed as Neil Armstrong because we're in Houston. Houston, we had a problem. Adam Rose comes out and calls him a sour, sour spaceman. They have their match, which lasts all of freaking 8 seconds. Adam Rose hits the party foul and gets the quick pin, and that was that. Why even trot these guys out here? Why still have Adam Rose having matches? Just have him in the back. Have him do a commercial for Burger King. I know Sean would like that. Right?
It gets me points. I don't give a shit.
I don't get why
Adam Rose only gets like two-minute matches, though. Ever since his debut, that's all he's had, isn't it? He hasn't had a match longer than 5 minutes.
I don't think he can do a match longer than 5 minutes.
Then he's not over, so. It's on you, WWE. It's on you.
Oh, Sean's calling him out. Tony, do you agree?
Shit.
Do I agree that Sandow and whatever it was made a shit fest on this?
Do you think Adam Rose deserves better, and that if he had been given more opportunities with his matches, that he might be more over than he is right now?
To an extent, maybe. He could have benefited from more attention, more of an actual feud to begin with, and all that other kind of stuff. Because if WWE has proven anything, it's proven that they can kill somebody if they want them to. And they can also force somebody to be better than what they actually are. If they would have let everybody go to their own talents and everybody has to take credit for their own stuff, we wouldn't see people like Del Rio or Sheamus be multi-time champions. But they wanted them to be multi-time champions, so they did. And if they really wanted Adam Rose to be, then Adam Rose would be fighting for the Intercontinental Championship right now. But they don't. So they're giving him these kind of segments, and it's not going to help him at all. And then they're going to blame him, even though they should put a lot of the blame on themselves. But they should put some of the blame on Adam Rose, because he's not making any of these segments entertaining. And fucking Damian Sandow, it's a shame, because he's so much better than this.
He's not Fandango.
Yeah, absolutely. Wago, I have a question for you, and it's a dumb American question. John Bo in the chat room just said Sandow should come to Australia and he should wear budgie smugglers. The fuck are budgie smugglers?
I have no fucking clue. Not even I know that one. Sean, is that... Have you got a clue? I mean...
I think they're like onesies. I have no idea.
I don't know. I thought they might have them in Wales, like, for you to strap in when you're shagging sheep, but I don't know.
Well, they're obviously something you smuggle budgies in.
That's the textbook definition.
Oh, they're tight speedos. Isn't that what wrestlers already wear? Not to get gay or nothing, but I mean, really.
You say not get gay or anything? The way everyone knows your man crush on Roman. It's done at this point.
This is true. Well, at least Roman didn't leave me like Seth left Sean.
Nah, fuck you, Sean.
Any other thoughts about this Adam Rose spaceman match?
It was a match. And where the fuck is the bee?
Where the fuck is the bee?
Yeah, the fuck.
And we had like... The burger got like twice in size and a lot darker.
What's better, Sean, that burger or Burger King?
Well,
the hot dogs.
Hot dogs better. I missed the B.
Drew, are you trying to get something in there?
Nah. It's all good.
All right. We were supposed to have a matchup between Kane and Roman Reigns. Never happened, though, after Roman Reigns got attacked from behind by Randy Orton. Randy Orton just continued to lay a whole beat down on him, eventually going to RKO him on a table that doesn't break. I started getting flashbacks of Money in the Bank 2011, or was it 2010?
With Christian,
where he kept RKO like two or three times on the table, and like it still didn't break, and the whole stadium was like, one more time. And it still didn't break at the end. But then I remember the next time they had a match, the table broke before he even did the RKO. Like, they were just standing on it and it collapsed. They just couldn't win. But this time he got it on the second attempt. Randy Orton put his beat down on it. This is supposed to make us more excited, I guess, for the matchup they're going to be having at SummerSlam. And I just don't care. This is not the opponent I want for Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns should be facing Triple H. Triple H, take off the tie and get in the ring, because we're seeing these reports of Randy Orton being boring. Big surprise. What are the brass behind that believes that? Whatever. I don't even really care. I know that Randy Orton is boring to me, so I don't want to see the match. But let me get your guys' thoughts on that one. Wago, are you here with us? I think Wago dropped. But all right, Drew, why don't you start us off?
If I'm looking forward to Randy Orton and for SummerSlam, is that what the question was?
Yes. Well, what did you think about the segment tonight, and did it get you excited for the match?
It did not get me excited. I really can't. I can handle some beatdown segments, but Randy Orton beatdown segments are like the absolute worst. I will deal with Alicia Fox beatdown segments before Randy Orton. So I went and took a piss halfway through, so I didn't see the RKO's tables breaking through on my first go. But I don't know. I'd rather, because the rumors for like the past few months before Randy Orton was that it was going to be Triple H versus Reigns. So I think I was really excited for that, because that sounded like it would be really good. But as soon as they laid, oh, man, Randy Orton is like, headlocks. You remember that headlock? I remember that headlock. Oh, look, another headlock. And, yes, it'd just be a match of headlocks. No pun intended. So, no, I'm not looking forward to it. I'd rather be Triple H at this point. I don't know why they try to, like, push Orton. I think Orton might be better as a face at this point, because he doesn't do anything as a heel. And everyone complained in 2012 when he was a face that he wasn't doing anything. They make him heel. It's the same fucking thing. So who cares? Just make him face again. I don't care. I don't want to see this match.
Wago, you're back with us?
I am back. I don't know what the fuck happened there, but I'm back.
No, Skype's going to be Skype. What did you think about the beatdown with Kane and Randy Orton and Roman Reigns, and are you looking forward to their match?
The only thing that could have made that table spot any better if he did that thing on SmackDown where he fell down the monitor hole. I don't know if anyone saw that. That was fucking great. Yeah, he does not got a good history with tables. So when I watched this happen, I just cracked up laughing. I like the segment. One, I didn't have to see Kane wrestle. And two, I got to watch Randy Orton fuck up. So, fucking awesome.
Five times combo saying there should be a DVD of Orton's best headlocks.
That would be a long DVD.
Yeah, the first.
It would have to be a six-disc set. It could be an all-day special on the WWE Network.
And he could, like, do commentary. So during this headlock, I was thinking about this catfish sandwich that I ate once.
And then during this headlock, I was thinking about shitting that very same catfish sandwich into somebody's bag.
I really wanted to make sure that I had his head really locked in this one.
There was, if he had a key to unlock it, I didn't care. I wanted to block it. To move on from this joke. Tony, what did you think about this segment?
This didn't do anything for me. I still don't want to see Randy Orton versus Roman Reigns. And I was actually kind of hoping at first when Kane was out there that they might turn this into a triple threat match. And maybe that tension between Kane and Orton would have came out and that would spice it up a little bit. They might still do that. I don't know, because they don't seem to be building much else for Kane. But right now, if it stays just Orton and Reigns, pass. I don't care that Randy Orton beat up Roman Reigns. I know that it's not real, and I know that that has been something that has happened a million times before, and it wasn't anything different, wasn't anything special. Roman Reigns will come back next week, beat the shit out of him, and Roman Reigns will win at SummerSlam.
Did you guys hear that the reason behind The Undertaker losing at WrestleMania was finally broken?
Oh, yeah,
Kayfabe News. Kayfabe News finally broke the scoop, apparently. All matches are predetermined by the wrestlers and bookers. Huh. So there you go.
Hey, whoa.
I don't know, man. You can't trust what Kayfabe News says. They make stuff
breaking
up a lot.
Breaking the walls.
So there you go.
That makes sense, actually. That actually makes sense. You know what? I believe you. I believe that. Okay, cool.
All right, Drew.
All right.
Sean,
okay.
Wrap us up, man. What'd you think about the Orton and Roman Reigns beatdown?
Don't particularly care. I don't like any of them.
Yeah. Wraps it up very nice.
I tell you now, at SummerSlam, it's going to be a number one contender match for the world heavyweight WWE fucking championship between the both of them. That's a given.
So if Roman, if Brock Lesnar wins that matchup with John Cena, which we're all pretty much favoring, who do you think should win that to go on to face Brock Lesnar?
It's going
to
be Randy Orton versus Brock Lesnar, guaranteed.
I might give it a chance. I don't know.
Going to win.
I kind of hope they don't make it a number one contenders match. I'd rather see them just try to pick up the pieces of what to do with the number one contender at the next, you know, night on Raw or whatever it is. Anyway, enough about this stupid segment. Yeah, probably. Diego came out tonight with the Slayers, Layla and Summer Rae, for a match against Fandango. Very short, ends with a distraction roll-up. Lots of comedy, especially with the bull. The bull, like, falls over, like, because he got kissed or they touched him or whatever the hell happened. JBL starts making jokes about bull molestation. This segment made me feel dirty. I don't know. Anybody got anything they want to add about this piece of shit?
So Layla and Summer Rae's gimmick is that they hook up with multiple men each week. So they're horse.
Sluts. You know what? Mango fed Layla to AJ and I will fight that to the day I die. You fed her to her. God damn it.
Shut up, Drew.
You shut up.
This segment actually happened?
Yeah.
I'm dead serious. I did not see this. And I don't think that I wasn't watching the TV at the time. I think that I really legitimately might have stared at the screen and not noticed that anything was happening. I don't remember this happening at all. I really don't. I'm a little bit scared that maybe I had a stroke or something because I don't remember this.
At the least, I would think that you would have noticed how fine Layla and Summer Rae looked in those matador dress they had. Like, I can at least compliment them for that. Yeah, they look pretty damn good.
Was this during the first 2 hours when I wasn't watching?
No, this was like one of the last segments.
Wow. I don't remember hearing Fandango's music. I don't remember seeing anybody come out and do anything.
Well, I don't know. I think Fandango got the jobber entrance.
They came back from commercial and they were showing Roman Reigns being looked at by trainers at the broken table. And then all of a sudden it like picked up Fandango's music halfway and he was in the ring.
Oh, there you go.
He's yawning while talking about it. Yeah. I really don't give a fuck.
So, Wago, I know you're happy with the distraction roll-up.
Fuck you.
We're getting lots of suggestions here for top rope list for Smack Talk. I think Five Times Combo has the only actual, like, real one. Top rope list, best tag team. John Bo saying top rope list, laziest writers in WWE.
Oh, it says wrestlers in WWE, not writers.
Oh, is it wrestlers?
Yeah.
I think either one. I think either one.
That's got a W in it.
I actually gonna get caught for being really lazy on this one. We had a Divas tag team match, Naomi and Natalya against Cameron and Alicia Fox. I don't have any notes. I don't know who won it. I don't know what happened. I know Naomi came out in pink and black, so she matched Natalya. Wasn't Natalya a heel last week? Didn't she like team with Emma as heels to go against AJ and Paige?
No, they were baby faces.
So AJ and Paige were the heels?
No, it was just two babyface teams against each other. Well, unless you counted it like a babyface and a tweener kind of a thing, because Paige still wasn't a full heel, and Emma, her prints are still kind of drying at the police station. So Natalia's been a babyface. She's fine. Not fine, but you know what I mean.
Well, what does it say about this match if we're talking more about last week's Divas tag match than this one?
What does it say about the fucking Fandango segment if I remember this?
Oh, I don't remember that. Jesus Christ. Does Cameron just wear the schoolgirl thing now? Did she wear that at Battleground?
Battleground. Yep. Yep, she did. That's her shtick now. She's a dirty schoolgirl.
Ah, okay. I didn't realize that. That's an actual thing. Okay. All
right. Segments like this make me think they should give the audience rocks to throw.
Instead of pyro?
That's when they should let them have pyro. Pyro with rocks.
Let's talk about something good about tag teams, actually. Five Times Combo brought up a question here. He asks, who do you consider to be the best tag team ever? For me, I am actually going to say Edge and Christian. I loved those guys during the triangle tag feud that they had. I thought they were the stars. They won more matches than anybody out of that. And I think the most important thing, both of them went on to be world champions. So two big stars came out of a tag team, as opposed to most of the time. Matt Hardy was never a world champion.
He was an ECW champion, and that's technically a world champion.
To be fair, the ECW title had as much value as when fucking Christian won the world.
Yeah, exactly. So I was just trying to make a point to be an ass, but continue.
Okay, well, whatever. Both of them became big stars, and I think that it was a fantastic example of a team that can do that, as opposed to having a Shawn Michaels and a Marty Jannetty, where one goes big and one goes down. Or to a lesser extent, like the Dudleys, where Bully Ray has, years later, found his niche and made something for himself, and D-Von is just kind of like on the side. But we'll ask you guys, what's your, in your opinions, what's the best tag team of all time? Wago?
New Age Outlaws, by far. I think they're awesome, and when they came back for their run most recently, they've aged, yeah, but they hadn't missed much of a beat, and Road Dogg's amazing on the microphone still to this day. They was entertaining as heels, faces. I love the New Age Outlaws, and I'm a big DX mark too, so it contributes towards that.
Mm-hmm. Sean, what about you? What's your favorite tag team of all time?
My favorite tag team of all time was the APA.
Ooh.
I mean, who doesn't like Bradshaw?
To be fair, another tag team that consisted of two champions, even though Farooq got his world championship before the team, but still, two big stars on that team. Drew, what about you? What's your opinion, the best tag team of all time?
I'll give it a try. I'll give it to the Hardys and Eminem, just for the hell of it. Because why not?
You know, the sad thing is, I actually thought you meant the rapper for a second, and I had to process in my head that there was a tag team called Eminem.
Yeah.
I completely forgot that.
Whenever anyone says Eminem, I'm like, I remember when Joey Mercury got his face smashed with a ladder.
Yeah. Like, the one thing I remember that. I still watch that match when I get bored, and God, that was fucking fantastic when that happened.
So why would you say Eminem is, like, tied up there with...
I remember watching wrestling for the first time. One of the first things I saw when I started watching wrestling was Eminem. So it's kind of like one of those special like places in my, I don't know, heart, I guess, kind of thing. I've always liked Joey Mercury and what would it be, Johnny Nitro? It'd be Nitro. Fuck, I don't know. I don't even care anymore. So,
you must have marked out when you saw him tonight, then.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was going to say when we got to that segment. I was like, Joey Mercury was on TV, bald as ever, but he was on there, damn it.
He was in the main event. Joey Mercury and Jamie Noble were in the main event of Raw tonight.
Ah, so Finlay didn't make it out there tonight? Damn it.
Oh, he was out there
too. No, Finlay was there too.
Yes, let's go. This is a fantastic show.
Like, you know who wasn't there? Ricky Boat.
Ah, 2007, the steam boat. Yeah, so... Yeah, see, this is like 2007 SmackDown all over again right now in the main event.
Tony, last one. Your opinion of the best tag team of all time?
The Highlanders.
It's Deuce and Domino.
It's either LOD, since I used to get that Road Warrior pop, or or more than likely I would probably give my vote to the New Age Outlaws.
Yes.
Oh, there you go. And we had lots of people in the chat room throwing out different things. Lots of LODs. A lot of people agree with Edge and Christian. Brian the Brain, he just brought up the Von Erichs and the Freebirds. You old school guy. Gotta show respect for the
To be fair, well. That fucking Drew made me feel old as hell just from saying Eminem
when he
first
Eminem.
Got it. So,
right.
Fuck, Drew.
Ooh, Cade and Murdoch. You know,
Cade and Murdoch.
Lance Cade and Trevor Murdoch, I think, deserve better than they got, and I think they could have been a much better tag team.
Well, Cade was going to have a great career until he snorted coke on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
So he's only got himself to blame career-wise.
I hated their theme music so much. It was kind of shit.
Gotta give a shout-out to La Resistance. They were pretty boss.
I like La Resistance, too. The youngest tag team to gain the championships ever.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
So any love for the world's greatest tag team or nah? Or Team Angle. Team Angle, right?
Team Mangle?
Team Angle.
Oh.
Oh.
I like Team Eck. Team Eck.
Team Eck?
Team Eck, Edge, Christian, and Kurt. You don't remember Team Eck?
Oh. I didn't know they had a name.
Yeah, it was a great short-lived faction. Oh, man, all this nostalgia. We got to go back to talking about Raw, which sucked. anyone know who won that Divas tag match, by the way? I never did figure that out.
Yeah, you said Naomi won it a little bit. You said it like when you were talking about it.
No, I didn't. I said I don't know. Did. I have no notes.
No. You mentioned Naomi winning it because...
No, I mentioned Naomi wearing pink and black, just like Natalya.
Yeah, never mind. Yeah.
Wearing pink and black, same thing.
I do have one more question about the tag team thing before we continue. I remember last year you had a tournament in March for the with the tag. Who won that?
Thank you for bringing that up. We had the Keeping Kayfabe March Madness, and I actually was surprised the Dudleys won that tournament. It came down to the Dudleys and the Legion of Doom, it came down to the Dudleys and the New Age Outlaws. And the Dudleys like squeaked by and won the votes for the best tag team. That blew my mind. I did not expect that one. I thought maybe they would make it to the top four, but I did not expect them to win it. And they like dominated every single match that they had against people. Like people really like the fucking Dudleys.
Okay.
And to be fair, I think they deserve to be in the conversation and possibly even be defended as one of the best because they were a fantastic team. And unlike a lot of these tag teams where we're talking about people went on to become single stars, they really remained a tag team for the majority of their career. It was only in the last couple years that we saw Bully Ray break out and become a singles guy.
I think there's something peak in his career was Reverend Devon.
Testify.
Better than it.
We had a match between Chris Jericho and Seth Rollins. Once again, I don't have any notes about it. As often with the main events on Raw now, I kind of start tuning out because I know I got to start getting ready for the post show, get my notes together, start putting the advertisements out there, make sure things are set. But this one especially was just like, I saw no energy and we didn't even get a real finish to this match. The Wyatts ended up interrupting, beating down Jericho. I'm sure we'll see a great match between Jericho and Rollins someday. I think the two of them will have very complimentary styles, but it was just not tonight on Raw. But Tony, any thoughts on that?
What I saw was okay. Didn't seem that I really needed to pay that much attention to it at the time. I don't know if I missed out on anything or not, but you get to the end of Raw and I've kind of already been like burned out.
Mm-hmm. Wega?
I thought it was a solid match, but I wish it could have been better, and I think it can be better. I remember on one of Jericho's returns, he was having amazing matches with Rob Van Dam, of all people, and we was all praising him for how good he was, but this time around, it's kind of been eh.
Sean, anything to add about Chris Jericho and Seth Rollins' match tonight?
No, but the Chris Jericho promo with Triple H I thought was going to lead to something special, but...
Oh, that promo was awesome. I really had fun with that.
We're going to get to that in just a second. Drew, anything to add about Jericho and Rollins?
It was just okay. I remember like this like thing where fucking Rollins was on the ropes and he somehow landed on the ground and kicked him. That's really about it. But that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's becoming one of his more regular things where he like grabs onto the ropes and gets pulled out onto his feet. I mean, it's no less impressive. Every time he does it, it looks awesome. But you know, it's not anything particularly special with this match. So that's kind of a shame. Our main event of Raw, nothing to really say, especially when it involves two people that I would say we're all pretty much high on. I think we're all big Jericho fans and we're all digging Seth Rollins, except for maybe the fact that he's got that awful outfit on and the terrible music and he looks homeless.
And he's part of the Drew Crew.
I swear we like Seth Rollins.
And he's not on Sean's team.
Yeah, thank guys on Sean's team.
Our big story tonight is the follow-up of what went down last week between Brie Bella and Stephanie McMahon. Stephanie, of course, being arrested, carted out into a police vehicle, a hybrid police vehicle, I should mention. First off, they come out in the night, Steph and Triple H, that is, to address Brie, but they get interrupted by Chris Jericho, which the moment I saw him coming out, I just got all those awesome flashbacks of the times Chris Jericho and Stephanie McMahon would be going back and forth. Chris Jericho just continued to take his jabs, irritating Triple H to the point where eventually Triple H made the match for Jericho and Wyatt at SummerSlam, so that's finally official now. However, this stopped Stephanie McMahon from doing what she wanted to do, so we had to delay it until later in the night. In our final segment of the show, Stephanie is out in the ring, this time by herself. Eventually, Brie Bella shows up as well. They start having their back and forth, working out what that Stephanie can do to get Brie Bella to drop the charges against her. They ended up agreeing that Nikki gets a raise, so now Nikki's going to be the more paid Bella. I don't know why she would agree to that. Brie gets reinstated, and the big one that they were going back and forth on, there will be a match at SummerSlam between Brie Bella and Stephanie McMahon. Shockingly enough, the crowd blew up for this. They loved it. They were given yes chants. Before the end of the night, they were chanting, "This is awesome," which was, I think, more so with the fact that Stephanie, after finally, like, giving up this whole charade that she was so distraught and upset after the match was official between her and Brie, slapped Brie right across the face, knocking her off the ring apron down to the ground. I'm not going to lie, it was a pretty awesome moment seeing the vicious side of Stephanie pop out like that again. But in the end, I got to consider this match that we're having, and I'm not so optimistic for that. Brie Bella is fine. She's made vast improvements as an in-ring competitor over the years. Stephanie hasn't wrestled in 10 years, and I'm not particularly looking forward to that. So storyline-wise, they're improving this, but I don't think it's going to be able to save the fact this match is going to be terrible unless they really, really overbook it and gimmick it up. That's the only way this match is going to work out for me. But go around and get your guys' thoughts about this main event matchup and how it's setting up for SummerSlam. Drew, why don't you start us off?
I'm liking the storyline, but then once I know once we get to SummerSlam, I'm going to be like, oh, fuck, I have to sit through two Divas matches instead of just one. Fuck me. I know I'll like it now, but I know as soon as we get there, I'm going to hate this. I liked the intensity Stephanie showed, the crocodile tears that John, who called in or whatever, sorry, I'm really bad with this. Yeah, John, my bad, called in earlier talking about the crocodile tears from Stephanie. I thought that was cool. I thought the whole segment was cool, but I know I'm going to hate this in a couple weeks, so I'll let it pass for now. I'm just going to be really, really upset in a couple weeks.
Five times combo saying he started cracking up when Jericho started singing Bad Boys, which was pretty cool. I am a little disappointed in the crowd that they didn't catch on a little bit more singing that. Kind of made Jericho look like a doofus. But Sean, what'd you think about our closing segment on the show tonight, and are you looking forward to Stephanie and Brie?
I'm so excited. I just can't hide it.
It really shows.
Jamie Noble.
Jamie Noble in the main event of Raw.
Segment. All right. So, yeah.
Wago, what'd you think about this?
I love the Jericho bit, bringing back the FDDBBFTBH. Filthy, dirty, disgusting, brutal, bottom-feeding, trash-bag hoe. I fucking love Jericho's stick and him and Stephanie.
Did you type that out so you would know what the initials are?
No, I have it on a acronym finder. I didn't even know that was a website, but either way, I have it now. So, yeah, I love it. Brought back a whole chunk of nostalgia for me because I love them going backwards and forwards, and that was a cool moment. As far as the main event goes and their backwards and forwards, I thought this was going to bomb, but hats off to that crowd to make it an entertaining segment, and not just that, a great way to go off Raw. Going off with "This is awesome" chants is a rarity. Going off with any noise, in fact, is a rarity these days, so they got it done. Stephanie's acting was fantastic, how she went from weepy to scared to absolute diabolical bitch. So, awesome outing. I was really surprised. And the Bella's promo skills have gotten so much better compared to her poor backstage acting on Raw in the past. Yeah. So more of this, less of that, and she's got a more bright future ahead of her.
I wasn't just like randomly blurting at the microphone, by the way. For those who forgot that great feud between Daniel Bryan and Kane we had earlier this year where Brie Bella was just being scared inside the car playing the damsel in distress. Yeah, that was what that was from.
I thought you was watching TNA for a second. Oh, wait, you can't do that.
Tony, wrap us up on this one.
I think that overall this build-up has been really good. The match is probably not going to end up doing as well as the build-up, and that's going to disappoint a lot of people. If you do not see that coming and you can't set yourself up for that. But they continued the good feud here by having that great line at the end that Stephanie delivered. "I'm going to make you my bitch." And that was the best part about this whole thing.
All right, let's head to our final bit that we do here on the show, talking about Raw, and that's where we run down the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yes, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we run down what our favorite part of the show was, our least favorite part of the show, and what we thought was the ugliest part of the show. Go around to our panelists here and get your thoughts about those very things. Drew, I know you like to start things off, so why don't you go ahead.
Yeah. All right, my good tonight. I know I'm not going to be like, what, me? So my good tonight. I don't think we mentioned it on the show, but there was a Stardust and Goldust segment. I don't know why. I just was laughing the entire time during that. I thought, so that's my good. My bad is going to be the Randy Orton beatdown segment, because that was fucking stupid, and I had to take a piss because of it. And my ugly, it's going to have to be the Damian Sandow thing, because I don't know how I'd explain an astronaut wrestling just to wrestle.
How did that make you take a piss? Oh, man, he's beating the shit out of it. My blood is sure getting full.
I don't know. It's just one of those weird things, you know? Sometimes I sit down and start playing a game, and it's like, oh, I got to go take a shit. Maybe Randy Orton trying to beat someone up is just, this sounds fucking weird. I'm done.
Yeah. So, Sean, you're good, bad, and ugly for tonight's show.
The good, the John Cena and Cesaro match. The bad, everything what Drew just said. And the ugly, Burger King adverts. Why so many Burger King adverts? Why is it the $5 Burger King adverts? What the fuck, dude?
It used to be Sonic that they used to play a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Burger King. There was only one Sonic advert today.
You know what it is? $5 meals. I don't know if it's like this in other places around the world, but in America, for some reason, $5 meals is a very big thing. Subway started it with the whole $5 footlong, and then like, I think KFC had some kind of $5 box deal.
Taco Bell
Hardee's had some kind of $5. Taco Bell has the $5 deal. So now Burger King is doing the $5 deal. That's just some kind of trend that's going on with fast food restaurants.
And if mashed potato ever comes to my KFC, I'm going to cry.
Listen, I'm just going to throw it out there. If KFC has one awesome thing, it's those mashed potatoes. Don't Maybe the mac and cheese.
KFC lets me down in America. They actually do it better in England. They don't have a Wicked Zinger Burger here. It's depressing.
A Wicked Zinger Burger?
Yep. They have it in England, and they don't have it in America, and it's like a spicy chicken burger, but it kicks fucking ass, and you just don't have it. We out America, do you? The fuck America?
Well, Wago, you're good, bad, and ugly for tonight's show.
My good is going to go to John Cena vs. Cesaro. Great outing. Fun match. My bad, just stick a Divas segment in here that wasn't Stephanie McMahon and Bella. And ugly. Okay, someone walks into the room. What are you watching? That's a guy with a bunch of people dressed up wrestling an astronaut. Yeah, I watch this every Monday.
Creepers on the Radar wanted to join the fast food conversation, saying KFC used to have good mashed Rusevs and gravy.
Rusevs and gravy.
We'll pull. Actually, let me let Tony give you a good, bad, and ugly first.
My good, if it doesn't go to the line, I'm gonna make you my bitch. Then it goes to just that air of importance that is going on with that Rusev feud right now. Zeb Coulter comes out, everybody starts doing the We the People chant. He needs to fucking win at SummerSlam. And not only is that going to help them when it comes to the fire that they've gotten under, the people that are criticizing WWE for doing that, you know, you get the USA a win after all this kind of stuff, but it'll help Rusev out in the long run as well as Swagger, even though that sounds kind of weird that, it, you know, what happened with helping Rusev. The bad, since I didn't see some of the different parts, I don't know if I'm missing something necessarily, but I'll give it to Reigns and Orton. Because it's a waste of my time, I'm just not interested, and it's a pitch that didn't work for me. Oh, these two are fighting, and, you know, it's going to be crazy at SummerSlam. No, it isn't. notice. And the ugly Sandown Rose. It would be embarrassing to let a non-wrestling fan watch stuff like that and try to defend it, just like Wago said.
Mm-hmm. And what Drew said. Yeah.
I'll pull the one out of the chat room here. Five Times Combo said his good was Y2J singing Bad Boys. The bad, Adam Rose blinked and I missed it. And the ugly, he says he doesn't really think there was anything too ugly tonight. Well, pretty optimistic there. For my good, bad, and ugly, my good was absolutely that opening match between Cesaro and Cena. Both of them looked fantastic. Shame Cesaro couldn't have gotten that victory, but I really wasn't expecting him to. Cena had to get a strong win going into his match against Brock Lesnar, and why not have it over the old Paul Heyman guy? I guess it makes sense. The bad is a victory that I don't agree with, and that is the ending of Bo Dallas's streak, especially to R-Truth. Bullshit. The ugly, I am going to give to the fainting bull. That was bullshit. You got bullshit and bullshit. Oh, goodness gracious. All right, one last bit of business to take here before we wrap things up. We're probably going to be closing shop a little early here tonight. Not surprisingly, I'm surprised we got as much conversation out of this show as we did. But we're going to give a little bit of time to each host here to tell you what else they got going on in their lives that you should be checking out besides just joining us here on Mondays on Mega Powers Radio. Drew, what's good in the world of the Drew Crew?
The Drew Crew is on fire with the addition of Seth Rollins. Ain't that right, Sean? Shut the fuck up, Sean. So, like I said, always support the Drew Crew. Fuck Sean and fuck Tony's Tykes.
One last thing I'm going to pull in the chat room here. Creep was on the radar saying, I wonder if Zack Ryder is jealous of Sandow's success.
Hey, he got two girls the other night, so Zack Ryder's on top of the world. He won a match on Raw.
Now they left him for the bull. So when you're just being used as a pawn just to try to make Fandango look bad, like, come on. Sean, anything you want to put out there to the world tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
If you want to buy my underwear, then send me a direct message on the Twitter at Sean the C2K37.
All right, there you go. Wago, please.
Well, I'm going to be gone after this week for the best part of a month. I'm going back to jolly old England to visit my parents, so I'm going to be missing in action. But if you do miss my beautiful voice, then you can check out Addicted to Anime. We recently had an episode where we reviewed Cowboy Bebop. You can find that on Mega Powers Radio on Blog Talk Radio. You can find it on iTunes very soon. And keep checking back to facebook.com/addictedanimefans for all your news on that. And also check out UDMMA.com, facebook.com/UDMMA, and twitter.com/UDMMA for all your MMA needs. It's UDMMA.
All right. And Tony Mango.
SmarkOutMoment.com, YouTube.com/SmarkOutMoment. You could also find Smack Talk on iTunes and Stitcher. Heads up about one thing about Smack Talk, and that is the live edition of Smack Talk, Saturday, August 9th, 8 p.m., MegaPowersRadio.com. Mark your calendars for that. And I'm just going to leave this little teaser out there. Stay tuned for more outside interference.
Ooh. International objects, even?
Maybe. Maybe one of those Winger Zinger burgers or whatever the fuck you were just talking about.
you're just importing Sean's underwear, aren't you?
Probably.
I don't have the money for that.
All right. Folks, if you enjoyed the show tonight, we hope you will join us every single Monday night here on MegaPowersRadio.com for our Raw post show. We go live as soon as Raw goes off the air, as long as we don't have problems with BTR. If we do, then just a couple minutes after. We appreciate y'all being patient the last couple weeks. Hopefully that's not going to be continuing going forward. If you cannot join us on Monday nights, though, you can always easily find the show archived on SmarkOutMoment.com, on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and YouTube. Just search for Raw post show. Also on Facebook and Twitter, search for the handle Raw Post Show. Also been pushing a lot lately the official Facebook group, The Mega Maniacs. We're at, I believe, 98 members, so we're just about to break 100 strong. Please get yourself in there, facebook.com/groups/TheMegaManiacs. That's facebook.com/groups /TheMegaManiacs. I'll be sure to put a link in the show notes, as I always do, where you can conversate with us all throughout the week, not just here on Monday nights, not just on Smack Talk, but every single day of the week. We had lots of fun in there when we first heard the news of TNA having their contract canceled. And we're going to continue to have lots of fun with that. Oh, goodness gracious. With that, folks, for Shawn Walker, for Drew White, for Stephen Huego and Tony Mango, I'm Mike Payton signing off for the Raw Post Show here on Mega Powers Radio. We'll see you guys next week.